globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we traveled 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno o poldan.
Daj nam danes naš vsakdanji kruh.
We need a real agricultural revolution so as to get a solution of hunger.
Na ulicah večjih in manjših sudanskih mest že tretji teden potekajo protesti, ki jih je sprožilo zvišanje cen kruha in goriva. Začeli so se 19. decembra v severovzhodnem, pretežno delavskem mestu Adbara in se v naslednjih treh tednih razširili po vsej državi. Razlog za nejevoljo ljudi je bilo nenadno zvišanje cen kruha in pogonskega goriva. Za kilogram kruha je bilo nenadoma na mesto enega sudanskega funta oziroma 18 evrocentov treba odšteti 3 funte oziroma malo več kot pol evra. Protesti so se kmalu sprevrgli v ulično nasilje. Njihova kontinuiranost pa je pritegnila pozornost, preganjanje opozicije in nezadovoljnega srednjega sloja, ki sta oblikovala zahteve po odstopu predsednika Omarja al-Bashirja in vladajoče elite. Preden pa se posvetimo analizi protestov, se zdi smiselno izpostaviti vzroke, ki so Sudan pripeljali do stanja, ko je kruh naš vsakdanji postal gorivo protestnega duha. Od neodvisnosti leta 1953 do puča in prevzema oblasti trenutnega predsednika Omarja al-Bashirja leta 1989 je Sudan strukturnim ulaganjem v razvoj kmetijstva in poljedelstva uspešno zagotavljal dovoljšne količine hrane za svojo populacijo, presežke pa izvažal na svetovni trg. V 80-ih letih prejšnjega stoletja se je iz poljedelstva preusmeril v intenzivno izkoriščanje naftnih rezerv, predvsem na jugu države. Prebivalstvo je v 90-ih letih začelo opuščati kmetovanje, predvsem pridelavo lokalnih sirkovih žitaric, ki so bile temeljna prehrambena surovina ruralnega prebivalstva. V začetku 21. stoletja je potrebe po prehrambenih žitaric začel nadomeščati z uvozom pšenice in visokimi državnimi subvencijami na njen maloprodajni odkup, pojasni Magdi El Gizuli, raziskovalec in sodelavec nevladne organizacije Rift Valley Institute.
Recently the government cannot afford these subsidies, or it says it cannot afford these subsidies anymore, so it's slashing subsidies on wheat. And the dependence on wheat is expanding. Sudan is urbanizing fast. People have moved almost completely from eating sorghum, which was the staple in rural Sudan, to dependency on wheat-based bread. So these changing dietary habits also mean that the cost of these subsidies is higher because consumption is higher. Wheat is a product that Sudan doesn't produce. Agriculturally, it produces very limited amounts. So it's completely dependent on import.
Po cepitvi Južnega Sudana leta 2011 in državljanski vojni, ki je sledila, je država izgubila skoraj 3/4 prihodkov z naftnih polj in bila prisiljena v sprejem varčevalnih ukrepov. V boju s primankljajem je začela zniževati državne subvencije za pogonska goriva in pšenico. Zvišala se je inflacija. To je pripeljalo do prvih protivladnih protestov leta 2013, ko so nezadovoljni prebivalci na ulicah večjih mest zahtevali znižanje cen pogonskih goriv in kuhalnega plina. Na ulice so se podali predvsem nezadovoljni mladi in študentje, ki so upali, da bo val političnih sprememb arabske pomladi, ki je zajel druge arabske države, dosegel tudi Sudan. To se ni zgodilo. Avtokratska oblast je demonstracije zatrla v kali. Zoper protestnike je uporabila solzivec in prave naboje. Na ulicah prestolnice Kartum in drugih večjih mest pa je umrlo okrog 200 ljudi. Pojasnjuje Magdi El Gizuli.
In response, the government has imposed several rounds of austerity measures. The major one was in 2013. In response, there was a wide wave of protesting, but particularly in Khartoum, there was a wide wave of protests. The government's response was very oppressive.
Tokratni protesti se od tedanjih razlikujejo predvsem v tem, da so se začeli med pretežno delavskim in kmečkim prebivalstvom v manjših provincialnih mestih, ki tradicionalno podpirajo vladajočo stranko nacionalnega kongresa. Ravno oni so bili zaradi rastoče inflacije, konec lanskega leta je dosegla kar 70%, in znižanja državnih subvencij na gorivo in pšenico najbolj prizadeti. Slednje Sudan v zadnjem desetletju letno uvozi za okoli 2 milijona metričnih ton. Državne subvencije za njo in za pogonska goriva pa so lani znašale 1 milijardo evrov, oziroma kar polovico sudanskega letnega proračuna. Protesti so se podobno kot leta 2013 iz manjših provincialnih mest razširili v večja urbana središča. Zahtevan delavcev in kmetov po znižanju cen kruha in goriva so se zahtevami po demokratizaciji države pridružili izobraženci, mladi zaposleni in študentje. Richard Cockett, zgodovinar, raziskovalec in urednik časopisa The Economist, izpostavlja, da je v obdobju Bashirjeve vladavine ravno srednji sloj tisti, ki je najbolj uspešen pri oblikovanju zahtev po spremembah političnega ustroja.
They've usually been led by the professional middle classes. The doctors have been usually very important, lawyers, as well as students, in Khartoum. Combining with some of the industrial workers. So that's traditionally been the sort of makeup of these protests, and they have been successful in the past. Now, they've happened before to Bashir, notably in 2013, after the Arab Spring, and there was some speculation then that Bashir would go the same way as Mubarak of Egypt and other North African dictators, but he survived that after sort of a year of some turbulence, a lot of protests, and again, people being shot dead in the street. So most people thought that once he'd survived those, he was probably okay, but now he faces the same thing again.
Teden dni po demonstracijah v Adbari se je v Kratumu oblikovalo zavezništvo sindikatov neodvisnih zaposlenih, ki je zahtevami po demokratizaciji države protestni momentum popeljalo na socialna omrežja. Proteste je podprla tudi največja opozicijska stranka UMA. Iz leto in pol dolgega prostovoljnega izgnanstva pa se je vrnil njen vodja Sadik al-Mahdi. Mahdi je bil sudanski premier v letih 1966 in 1967 ter zadnji demokratično izvoljeni vladi med letoma 1986 in 1989, ko se ga je z državnim udarom zrušil Omar el-Bashir. Sogovornik kontinuiteto protestov, tokrat so najdlje zatrti oziroma nezatrti v zgodovini Bashirjeve vladavine, vidi v uspehu opozicije, ki oziroma da nagovori mlade, ki protestirajo na ulicah Kartuma in Umar Durmana, drugega največjega mesta v državi.
He's been a singularly, I think, inept and ineffective leader of the opposition, and it's partly because of the weakness and divisions of the opposition over the decades that Bashir has been able to remain in power, and that remains true today. I mean, it is a sad fact in Sudan that during the whole of the intervening 30 years, 35 years since the Islamic Revolution, the same players are still there. Bashir is still president. Many of his long-serving lieutenants, Nafi al-Nafi, Salah Ghosh, former head of the intelligence apparatus, are still leading the regime, and the opposition is still led by Sadiq al-Mahdi. So none of these protests or street movements have really led, unfortunately, to any new opposition, new broad-based, younger sort of movement.
Na drugi strani je centralistična oblika vladavine, ki jo je vzpostavila Baširjeva elita, srž nezadovoljstva med provincialnim prebivalstvom.
And most of the wealth has accrued to that part, most of what remains of the industry is there, all the security apparatus and the government is based in Khartoum. So it's a very Khartoum, it's an unusually capital-centric country. And this has always traditionally led to resentment and anger on the peripheries, where they felt that they never got a good deal from Khartoum, that they contributed taxes and revenues to Khartoum, but never got anything back. And that's basically been the basic formula for and the cause of instability in the country for the past 50, 60 years.
Kako pomemben za Sudan je njen z nafto bogat jug, se je pokazalo ob njegovi odcepitvi in razglasitvi samostojne države leta 2011, ki je Baširjeva oblast ni zares pričakovala.
It was unexpected in the north, and the leaders of the regime were very disappointed and angry that it happened, and a lot of them blamed Bashir for that. So Bashir's standing has never been the same, really, since the loss of South Sudan. You know, many people regard him as, above all, the man responsible for splitting their country into two, for the loss of South Sudan, and with it, the loss of all those oil fields and that oil revenue. So Bashir has never been as firmly in command as he was.
Ob izgubi skoraj treh četrtin prihodkov iz prodaje nafte je tako morala poiskati nove zaveznice v regiji. Obrnila se je k zalivskim državam, predvsem sunitski Saudovi Arabiji, pa tudi pretežno šiitskemu Katarju. Slednji je Sudanu pomagal medijirati konflikt med uporniškimi skupinami v zahodni provinci Darfur. Saudova Arabija pa je bila v zameno za podporo njenim političnim in vojaškim intervencijam pripravljena ekonomsko oslabljeno državo podpreti s posojili in subvencijami, pojasnjuje Koket.
Sudan was forced to choose in the great Sunni confrontation with the Shia. In the Arab world, the Shia being in Iran, Sunni being Saudi Arabia, and they were forced basically to choose the Sunni side and Saudi Arabia. And at the moment, Sudan is an active participant in Saudi Arabia's war in Yemen, and they contribute troops, several thousand troops, we're not quite sure how many, but at least several thousand troops to the Saudi-led coalition against the rebels in Yemen. And in return for that, Sudan gets support, financial support, economic support from Saudi Arabia.
Podpora Sudana sunitskim zalivskim državam je samoumevna toliko, kot je samoumevna vladavina stranke nacionalnega kongresa. Ta se je pred Baširjevim pučem imenovala Nacionalna islamska fronta, vodil pa jo je čislani sudanski politik Hassan al-Turabi, kasneje poslanec Narodne skupščine. Tradicionalne muslimanske vrednote 90-ih let so v 30-ih letih Baširjeve vladavine izgubile pomen. Poudarja Koket.
It's really been Bashir's revolution alone. Much of the reforming Islamic zeal has been removed from the regime. One diplomat described it to me as the regime now as pragmatic thugs, which I think is quite a good description. You know, they are basically holding on to power by any means now, and any Islamic content or ideological zeal has long ago been replaced by merely by the instinct for survival.
V upanju na izboljšanje gospodarske situacije je oblast Omarja al-Bashirja oktobra lani v prestolnici Džuba z južnosudanskimi voditelji dosegla dogovor o prenovi v spopadih uničenih naftnih pol in ponovni vzpostavitvi črpanja nafte. Pojasni Magdi.
Sudan invested in this agreement has played a big role in signing this deal between Riek Machar and Salva Kiir. One implication of this deal is rehabilitation of the southern oil fields of oil production. The whole operation is a Sudanese one, so it's Sudanese engineers running the oil fields in South Sudan. It's Sudanese military guarding these oil installations and oil fields. And Sudan is in big expectation of the rewards that will come from the transfer of oil through Sudan.
Protestov, ki so v prvem tednu po novem letu dosegli svoj vrh, so se v Sudanu oziroma v Južnem Sudanu, kjer so od leta 2013 dalje poteka državljanska vojna med različnimi oboroženimi skupinami, zbali. Trenutna južno-sudanska oblast je tako medijem prepovedala poročati o protestih na severu, izpostavlja Koket.
South Sudan is desperately afraid that any instability and insecurity in the north could spread to the south, so much so that the South Sudanese government has banned all reporting of these protests in Khartoum and other places in the north in the South Sudanese media. And they've already arrested a journalist for reporting on the affairs of the north. So they're very, very worried about contagion, that any destabilization in the north will spread to the south, and that it will affect their relationships. Just as the north has been very concerned about what goes on in the south.
Protesti skoraj zagotovo ne bodo privedli do odstopa predsednika Omarja al-Bashirja. Podporo uživa tako med zalivskimi državami kot med Evropsko unijo ter Združenimi državami Amerike. Tudi zahteve po demokratizaciji, ne glede na to, kako legitimne so, ne bodo vzbudile prevelike pozornosti omenjenih. Poudarja Magdi.
Sudan's relationships with Qatar are long standing based on this association with the Muslim Brotherhood, etc. And I think this might mislead the analysis a bit, because essentially all these forces have no interest in a regime change in Khartoum along the lines of the Arab Spring. And this applies to Egypt, it applies to Qatar, and it also applies to Saudi Arabia. So these Arab Spring scenarios are off the table for most of the Gulf partners. Nobody has an appetite for this anymore. They would do all they can to prevent a replay of the Arab Spring scenario in Sudan. Not necessarily because of Sudan itself, but because of the example it might set. The only thing they might agree to is a transition of power to another soldier. So replacing one autocracy with another, or actually maintaining the autocracy is changing the face. So they're changing to the transition from a Bashir to a post-Bashir man who does the same job. This, they might have appetite for this, but there is obviously no appetite for democratization. The same can be said about the United States and the European.
Po glasbenem predahu sudansko-ameriške pevke Al-Sarah, ki se je svojo glasbeno skupino pred 5 leti obiskala Ljubljano, seveda je obiskala Ljubljano, se nakratko posvetimo še možnim razpletom politične nestabilnosti v Sudanu.
You know,
Pozdravljeni. Še vedno poslušate sudansko obarvano južno hemisfero, kjer bomo v izteku oddaje poslušali oziroma celo poskušali pogledati še onkraj meja te vzhodnoafriške države. Združene države Amerike so Baširja v 90-ih letih 20. stoletja obtožile podpiranja terorizma, zoper Sudan pa so uvedle gospodarske sankcije. Po dekretu, ki ga je lani oktobra podpisal predsednik Donald Trump, so te umaknili. Kljub temu naj bi šlo pri tem za simbolno sporočilo, da ZDA v regiji iščejo novo zaveznico. Poudarja Magdi.
The US can't do more than one African country at a time. Right now they're focused on Congo. And you know, the American attention span is not that long. And then came the story with Mr. Bongo in what is it, in Gabon. Well, I think that's already too much for the American State Department to handle. More than one African crisis is already an African crisis too much. And of course, the US government is in shutdown. So I'm not sure if whatever happens in Sudan right now will reverberate in Washington anytime soon.
Podoben odnos s Sudanom ima Evropska unija. Sudan je namreč njen ključni partner pri eksternalizaciji šengenskih meja. V zameno za finančno podporo sudanska policija izvaja monitoring na meji z Eritrejo in preprečuje povečanje migracij eritrejskih državljanov prek sudanskega ozemlja v Egipt in naprej v Evropo.
Most interesting thing about Sudan now is that it operates as a policeman, as an anti-migration policeman. So it's policing Europe's borders in Sudan, really. The transfer of the border from the European borders in the seas to places like Sudan, where the Sudanese security forces are hunting down Eritrean and Ethiopian refugees who are trying to get Europe through the desert.
Oba sogovornika se strinjata, da ob vsem povedanem čas za politične spremembe v Sudanu žal še ni napočil. Richard Cockett je celo mnenja, da bodo protesti ne glede na svoje trajanje Omarju al-Bashirju koristili in ojačali njegovo vladavino.
The European Union in particular is very invested now in Sudan, helping to prevent more immigrants fleeing Africa and trying to cross the Mediterranean Sea. So in geopolitical terms, these protests come at a good time for President Bashir, because he can expect quite a lot of political support from abroad and economic support.
Nobena revolucija se še ni skuhala na ulici. Današnji prispevek zaključuje Magdi El Gizuli.
We know probably from our own experience, revolutions don't just succeed because there are protests. You need the ruling establishment has to crack. So a critical element, I think, right now is that so far the ruling establishment has been able to maintain itself together. He might wither away this storm, but on the long term, I think his days are counted. This is an elderly man who, in the twilight of his power. This doesn't mean that he might not fall tomorrow, but I think the current wave of protests in the previous years have eaten up his legitimacy. And it's very hard to imagine how he can maintain power on the long term.
Hvala, Magdi. Po poteh kruha in igr sta se potikala Anton in Miha.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you'll see what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.